In the meantime,
these are a few of my favourite things.
Johnny Hero on U105.
Yes, Johnny Hero here on U105, and my favourite things, we've been running for a couple of years, and now, finally, I have, the guest we've been trying to get for a while. He's always too busy. John Lennon, how you doing, John?
Good, Johnny, how you, mate?
Dead on.
Good day to you.
Right. We were going to try and get May to do the interview. Maybe we'll get May to do it at a later date.
She's downstairs waiting on me.
All right, okay. You taking her out for a...
I take her out for a meal.
Oh, very nice, very sorry.
I had her breakfast and she had her lunch. So.
How long has May been on the go?
This is May's 26th year. She started in 1987.
Did you ever think you'd get such so long out of it and to be so popular?
I thought
still?
3 months, to be
did
honest.
You? Yeah.
But Eamon Holmes said to me, he says, I think you could get as long out of this as you want.
Yeah.
Just, he says, I think it'll stop when you want it to stop. And I said, your head's cut. He says, no, I really do. I think you've got a character there that'll work.
Yeah.
That was 1987.
Yeah. Do you constantly have to try and think of new angles for May or new jokes or whatever? Because to be honest, now, and stupid me answering my own question, I have been to see May and there are some standard remarks and punchlines that May comes out with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do them, I'm disappointed.
Correct.
It's like a singer having, you know, yeah, a greatest hits and not doing the hits.
It's like... you go to visit your auntie or your granny or some wee woman next door neighbour and anywhere in Belfast and they're, all right, Chad, hi, how are you? And we'll start all this out nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, and like I was in a clinic this morning getting my knees checked up. There's a wee woman and she was sitting there and she was great crack. And she says, oh, I have to get my new knees done. And she said, I got the injections. And the woman with her said, aye, she got the injections. It'll do me rightly, you know. It'll do her rightly. She just repeated everything.
But you do get that.
Aye, yeah. She'll do you for dollar about. It'll do her for dollar about. Yeah.
Do you find, I mean, are you basically a sponge? Do you just eavesdrop on everybody in Belfast looking for material?
Mm-hmm. Like, I do that one about the mint Y-O-Y-O.
Yeah.
It was I know a guy, he was an electrician, and he was doing a job for a wee woman. Up in East Belfast, he says, son, would you like a mint Y-O-Y-O? And then he fell near dead. And the emergency doors and all, you know.
Yeah. The deliberate malapropisms, the mispronunciations and everything else.
The casuality.
If I don't hear you talking about Perocadol and everything else, you know.
That's it. That's the way they talk.
Here, I meant to ask you, was that the Mary Peters do in the Opera House?
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I suppose, and I've been at some do's, and I'm sure you have. I don't think there's been so many famous people in one room at one time.
That's right,
ever.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Are you ever sort of a bit nervous about who's in front of you? I know, it's a daft question.
Yeah. No.
But seriously, I mean, deep down, are you thinking, well, I can't say anything about him or her or, you know, just get tore into everybody?
No, then you just pick on the punters who know if they're in the front row, a med's coming on the boat. Looks like you're in for it here, love, or you know what I mean? It's just...
I was in the second row and I was sitting with a program over my head, a coat over my head and everything else. And he sees me here, you know.
You
gave Jackie Fullerton a death.
I deserved every single bit of it. There's a brilliant story about Jackie. I did Jackie's 60th birthday years and years and years ago up in Ballymena, and at the finish up he says, John, that was brilliant. I loved every minute of it. I says, that's what he says, and John, I wouldn't jeopardise our friendship by offering you money for the honours.
Oh, brilliant.
Super.
He bought me a drink that night, and I put it on Twitter and Facebook. Jackie Fullerton just bought me a drink. You should have seen the replies. You're joking. Did you get a photograph?
Yeah. You got more than I got.
You know, was the Queen blinking when he pulled the fibre out? You know, that's this kind of thing.
Queen had a school bag in her back.
Yeah. So, again, and I was watching, you know, you had Steve Redgrave and all there and all these Olympic medal winners.
Yeah, I was talking to him backstage.
But they were laughing their heads off. I didn't think they'd get what you were talking about.
You know, a lot of people say that. You know, sometimes we put ourselves down here, you know, because, you know, you get, you know, say, principals in the panto over the last 23 years have come over from everywhere. And they really just enjoy the Northern Ireland crack. Takes them a wee while to get into it, you know.
Yeah.
There was one girl dancer. She wouldn't have been the sharpest knife in the drawer, but on the third week, she went, oh my God, oh, that's fun. You've been saying that every night. I didn't really get that. Hello. And I'll tell you, we were in the second week of rehearsals, and we were all in the Crown one night, you know, after rehearsals, and having a beer and blah, blah. And she sat down beside me, you know, in one of the cubicles. And this is, like this is 7 days into rehearsal. She turned around and she says, and do you work backstage? I said, yeah, love, I'm a rigger. Okay, yeah. Because the first week, you know, you'd have been doing most. But she was there when I was introduced to everybody and blah. Just a bit of a dingbat there, lover.
Right.
She'll never be any more than a dancer.
So it's Cinderella this year, anyway.
Cinderella, yes. And every one of the cast, all the principals are from here. There's no English people coming out.
I suppose that's a statement in itself.
There's Basil Brush.
Basil Brush. Another legend, yes.
Is he English?
But that's a statement that the talent we have, I suppose, in the lineup, the local talent, is good enough to fill the opera house.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have Jane Wiesner, she's Cinderella. Jane Wiesner, she did a film with Johnny Depp.
And, yeah.
Lovely, lovely girl and great actress. And Mark Adamson, he's a prince. And both of them are from Coleraine. And at the press launch, Mark says, it would be great if we did this in our own accents. You know, Cinderella, I want to go to the ball. And I'm going, you're not going to the ball. And he went, I want to go to the ball. And the prince goes, should I say that slapper fetch you? If it fetch you, I'll marry you. You know? And of course, there's Paddy Jenkins and Ciarán Nolan, the two uglies. And of course, Aidan O'Neill, he'll be the models or not models, what do you call them?
I don't know what you call him. And Paddy, you've done a few shows with Paddy over the years.
Jenkins, no show without punch.
Aye.
He is class act. Most underestimated, you know, actor in the country. He's just brilliant.
He's a talented guy.
No doubt.
You know, he really is.
Great guy.
So listen, the reason is we wanted to find out what makes you tick. Do you have a favourite film?
Favourite film? Loved Shawshank. I love a whole lot of them, but Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
I loved Braveheart. Is it The Long Green Mile?
The Green Mile?
Green Mile, aye.
It's another Stephen King story, and
I. Brilliant. Them I love, you know. But I love all those, you know, the Bourne Supremacy, you know, the Bourne Trilogy?
Yeah.
The three films there. I don't know why Matt Damon didn't do the latest one. It's going to be sort of odd looking at the latest one without Matt Damon in it, you know?
It's a bit strange. I know what you mean, because I like them
but
as well.
But like the Bond. We like a Bond movie.
I suppose they'll just have to treat it like Bond. It's just, or Doctor Who. It's a new one. There's a new guy doing it.
Yeah.
What about books? Do you read much? Do you get the time?
Yeah, well, not during pandemic season, but normally if I go away on holidays
Do you read your script over and over? Because I've heard stories about you with scripts.
I do. You see, you have to know the script from A to Z, especially if you want to go...
Hold on. You've never stuck to a script in your life.
allow me to finish. You have to know the script from A to Z, because if you're going to go off on a tangent, you have to know when to come back.
Yeah.
Because there's a lighting cues, there's music cues, there's cues for other principals coming off, going on, etc, etc.
Aye.
So you lighting cues, there could be 350 lighting cues in the one show.
You have to probably know it better than anybody else then, because you're going away to come back again.
If you want to go away and come back again, you have to come back exactly the same spot.
Yeah. So, sorry, where did we get my books? Do you
I mean, books, yeah. Well, yeah, I like Da Vinci Code.
I thought it was a great book.
Yeah,
and I know there was a lot of... poo-pooing of it and everything
about,
else.
And the movie. And
but it was a good book, an exciting book.
Yeah, it was. And I like all that, you know, James Patterson trilogy, all the, you know, the New York cops and, you know, San Francisco and all, sort of thriller types, you know. Yeah, I like them. I like something you can lift and finish within 2 days, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't have to really, really study the thing, you know.
The lifting Ulysses, you know.
I know.
It's a doorstop in our house.
Right, the important bit on radio, favourite song?
Making the Mechanics, 11 years, because my dad, God rest him, moved away to New Zealand, early 70s, and we were all up and, you know, him, my mom, my wee sister Eileen, they moved to Auckland, and my dad was having a wee bit of bother with his chest, and My dad smoked quite a lot, you know. Then he took it down from smoking blues to Embassy, and then it was Silk Cut, you know.
Yeah, just trying to take it down a gear, yeah.
And they thought he had no bad taste, and they thought he had cancer of the lung. They were taking him in to take a piece off the lung to see if it was a malignant. And before they put the knife on him, he was dead.
What?
Didn't even get to open him. And my mother was called for, and they said he must have been allergic to the anaesthetic. And then my ma, dear lover, she was identifying the body, and she says, "What happened to his head? It's all bruised." She says, "I will, you know, bodies go like that after death." And my mum says, "Look, I've waked too many people. Yeah. What happened to Johnny's head?" And she says, "Well, nothing." She said, "Did you drop him? Was he dropped off the trolley?" And they didn't say anything. But they gave my mother, my dad was 56, and they gave my mother what my father would have earned until he was 65.
Yeah.
He says, "Why are you doing this? I sometimes would do these, you know."
Aye.
So my mother was a very, very religious woman. And when we learned of it, you know, to me, like, you could have took him to,
yeah.
It's God's will. God wanted your daddy, and that's the way it was, you know.
Yeah.
So
some people's faith does comfort them,
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely. Oh, that's the thing that got my mother through. And then her and me Eileen came back,
yeah,
from New Zealand, and both of them are dead. They're all dead now, you know. So 11 years every time, you know, just listen to the lyrics, and it's...
How did you get on with your father?
Oh, brilliant.
Did you?
We were best at, you know. I suppose, like, I was in my 20s when he left, and no, a year... The older generation knows nothing.
That's right. You're king of the world, and the world
16
revolves.
17,
and, yeah, world revolves around
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely,
you know?
And you're old. What do you know? You're stupid. You know.
Do you any regrets about? I mean.
Oh no, absolutely.
Because I know the 11 years is full of regret. Basically, things I never said to my dad and that kind of thing.
No, that not that way.
Yeah.
No, it's just that I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what he meant. And no, I loved him dearly. And he was from Cork. A wee place called Knocknacurra between Boherbuy and Kishkeem.
Yeah.
And when I'm doing I tell a joke when I'm doing the Cork accent, you know, the big gal from...
I was wondering why you're good at doing the Cork accent. You say,
indeed,
yeah, I've heard you do it.
And I came from Boherbuy, between Boherbuy and Kishkeem, you know, so, and the big gal, I say, "Well, what are you at now, boy? I'm not here for the match, you know, so, I'm not here for the match." So that was because my dad and all his relations, you know. So, yeah, he was a.
Do you remember the last conversation you had with him, for instance?
Yeah, I was living in Dublin. I was coming back down to Dublin. My father and my mother had come home. My sister was having an operation on her head, and one of my mother's sisters had sort of panicked her a bit, and my mother thought it was a wee bit more dangerous than it really was.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd only been out there 2 years or something, and they just got all the money to come back. And it was literally their last. And I was getting married the next year, but they just couldn't afford to come over for my wedding,
yeah,
you know. And it was ironic that 12 years later, I got exactly the same operation as my sister got.
Did not.
And we haven't got the same thing, but we had exactly the same operation in the back of the head, you know, opened up. So, it was strange, you know. But they weren't supposed to be here, you know. I'm a firm believer in that.
Are you religious?
I am. I think I'd be religious in the way that Father Brian Darcy's religious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was brought up a Catholic, and my mom would turn her grave if she heard me. She would. I was. Yeah, well, that's the way to go, you know, because, you know, a lot of things happened and Brian Darcy has, you know, spoke up against it, and Rome wanted to shut him up and keep quiet. You shouldn't be saying these things. And, you know, the fact that priests should be able to get married, you know, I don't think it had half the bother that Ireland's had if priests were married, you know, because it only breeds, you know, priests are, you know, they're male homo sapiens, and male homo sapiens do what they do naturally, you know what I mean? You can't just, it's against all laws of physics and science and everything to sort of shelve that, you know? Some people
I heard a woman saying on one of Frank's phone-ins that, listen, a lot of the apostles were married. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Where did it all start, that you weren't allowed to get married, indeed, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, and she, like, the Catholic Church down the years, has there's been some cracker popes.
Yeah, no. I don't know if people would bother to read the history and everything
Absolutely, absolutely. But sure, everything's been written by human beings, you know.
Yeah.
God didn't write anything. Well, I haven't seen anything that he wrote.
Well, that's true. Oh, then listen, we're in the whole theological discussion then. We'll be
you
here.
You asked me to come down here and enjoy myself. Heavens above.
So listen, the 11 years, does it bring a tear to your eye every time you hear it?
No, but I would well up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, Brenda's in maybe Tesco's or somewhere, you know, and I'm sitting outside and, you know, and the rain's hitting the car and maybe the 11 years comes on, you know. Just a couple of, few minutes to just think about it. Think about my dad, you know. He was just a lovely man. You know.
And he died at 56, that's young.
It's not old if you're 55.
Yeah, well, but even, you know, by today's standard, he's a young man. You know.
He was, one of those things.
Okay, listen, John, thanks for coming in, mate. Thank you very much.
Johnny, it's been a total pleasure, mate. It's great to see you again. Thanks a million.